And welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan, and we are airing live on August 16th, 2020. Scoop ya.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. My name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. If you're looking for a tractor, a mower, a rider, or a zero turn, go by and see them there. They're at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. They've got a pretty good inventory right now, and also they handle the steel power products line and Honda. So if you're needing a generator, go by and see them. They have plenty on hand. They get you fixed up. Their phone number is 226-9226, or you can get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
That was easy.
Yeah.
All righty. So let's see. You can always find everything about our programs for the last almost 10 years at wethepeopleradio.us. And I have like all the shows that we're speaking about China again today. So all the shows about China are under a tab called China. Shows about Islam, tab called Islam. Pretty easy. Got them kind of separated out. Shows about veterans, South Africa, national security, marijuana. If you still think marijuana is safe, effective, and herbal, please click on the pot tab. Made it short, sweet, and to the point.
I think I got a residual high from being over on the coast this last couple of days.
Cooler weather and lots of fumes.
Lots of fumes over there, yeah.
Lots of fumes.
On the what do they call it? The Emerald Coast.
No, it's the Emerald Triangle. Get with the program.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Emerald Triangle.
You obviously didn't do
See,
any.
I'm still not.
Didn't do any recon while you were over there, did you? Or did you? Maybe that's why you don't know what the hell you're talking about. We say
I didn't have to look very hard. Let me put it that way.
She's watching me through the window. She's giving me the eye sign there. Oh, my goodness. So we decided. What am I saying? We've been remiss. I'll just confess. We've been remiss. And we have to check back with our guests on China. There's been so much going on, and yet we've been talking about, you know, it just seems like there's so much going on everywhere. But time to go back and do some revisitation. There is a ton of great information. I'll be updating it actually during the program, and then for people who are maybe tuning in who haven't listened before, well, where have you been for starters? But our shows are always archived after the program. The commercials are taken out, so you save yourself 20-25 minutes. You've got two links, one for each hour or one for the whole program, depending on how much bandwidth you've got. You can download them. They're MP3 files. They're free, and they're always there hanging out waiting for you, so there's no reason to go without information. And the information doesn't ever come from us. It comes from people who actually know what they're talking about. We're just the conduit.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. We just show up and
we just jump in. We just jump in when we have a
We just
wild
do
thought.
Smoke signals with Ashley through the window. That's our job. So today I kind of stole a couple of his topics, crammed them together and made them our topic, but you know, we're going to go all over the place, but it's how Beijing's communist regime poses a greater threat to America than other countries, and how the Trump administration has been most effective in protecting American society from communist threat. And they've been the most effective, he feels, in the last half century. So for all those of you who are really sick and tired of hearing about how, you know, this administration isn't doing anything and nothing's getting done and blah, 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 this will be a treat for you. And if you do think the administration is getting nothing done, if in fact you are a true believer of that, you should listen too, because actually there is a lot getting done, unless, of course, you'd like us to be communists.
Well,
if you'd like us to be communists, you should change the channel, because this will make you angry.
Yeah, CNN this morning was just saying that if we just kind of dropped our present policies and just started getting along with China, our lives would be so much easier.
Huh.
We could.
Is that because they would tell us what to do all the time?
Well, yeah, and you know, we could go on TikTok, and we could do all these fun things that we're gonna not be able to do here pretty quick. Yeah, it's like,
you get people spying on us 24/7.
Nope, it's gonna be tough.
Huh? Well, that's gonna suck. So our guest today came to the United States from China as a college student in 1988. He attended Eastern Michigan University in a small town 10 miles east of Ann Arbor. And after graduate school, he worked at a spinoff, and the search engine was deployed among leading enterprises and government agencies. First as a kernel engineer. That's kernel with a K. Bill's giving me the old kernel with a K. This is computer chit chat. And later as an independent consultant, Mr. Young handled high availability and high throughput information needs for clients worldwide, including financial news, profiling at Dow Jones, built-in information retrieval features in Adobe Acrobat and Lotus Notes. Kind of exciting. Interest rate announcements by Mexico's Central Bank and corporate solutions by London-based consulting firm Accenture. So kind of neat. But since 2012, so fast forward here after college and after all these fun computer things that I'm sure he's still doing. But since 2012, he's provided research, analysis, and other services to private investors and not-for-profit organizations covering macroeconomic and geopolitical topics in U.S.-China relations. And we started chatting with him before all this pandemic and Wuhan virus business got started, but what a great relationship to have forged. So we can touch back with him and he can catch us up to speed on what's actually going on that Chris Wallace will probably, A, never uncover and B, never believe.
That's right.
So while he's talking on Fox News here on Sunday afternoon, we'll be giving you the actual truth here. So, Eureka, where would you like to start? Because I know you made a little change, and we don't care. We'll follow along wherever you want to go.
All right. Yeah, I want to pick up on there is an old saying, like, if Muhammad does not go to the mountains, right, the mountain comes to Muhammad. And then now there, you're talking about CNN saying, like, we should just still go back to the old days to get along with China. And that is really – and there – this – brings me to an impromptu idiom. If we do not understand China, we do not come back to this topic, China is coming to us without, like, our worrying about getting along with them. They are coming to Hong Kong. Look at how the kids were being, like, arrested. And when a news a media tycoon was arrested, his two sons were arrested with him. And they were not even in the same business. And so this is what the United States will be if we do not stop this communist expansion in its track. That's what's happening in Hong Kong. I think it's okay wherever we start, but today, if we have time, I'd like to go back a little bit in my little, like, bio that you just said.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I've spent time on, like, the history of how United States and China, like, how the relationship was going back, like, really for a long time. Like, I'm mostly familiar with the recent 50 years, but the goodwill of American people carried toward China, toward the Chinese people, dated further back. It was like a century and a half ago, U.S. missionaries went to China. They brought, like, I think it was the late 1870s when New Jersey oil was just, or New Jersey petroleum. It was by a Rockefeller family. It was just like, U.S. was the leading producer of petroleum products. And it back then, I don't think they could distill that many steps to get what we are now flying, like jet engines, airliners. But they did help Chinese to use lamps. So in China, we have this saying, this lamp oil, we call it foreign oil because it comes from foreign. And the matches, we call it foreign matches. So it is these missionaries that are bringing these things to China. And the United States particularly sought to maintain the integrity, the territorial integrity of China. It hoped that China would remain peaceful and strong and prosperous, because the United States did not want to see local powers like Japan, which turned out to be really, like, aggressive during the Pacific War, and Russia, which turned into, we know, former Soviet Union, which was another expansionist, and all other European powers, to divide and conquer China and carve China into their own influences. So that was a long history of friendship, of goodwill. And so I probably won't go that back. I've covered, like, now we can, now I think we can cover just the past 50 years and take a look how China came to what it is today and what a threat, why it is a greater threat than other countries.
Sure.
Very, very good. We'll hold that thought. We'll take a really swift break, and we'll be right back and delve into that. And just for people who, you know, like to know where we're headed here, we're headed on this for the entire program. So no worries that we're going to have this super fast wrap-up and you won't get the whole story. So anyway, you are listening to We the People. You can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Are you 6 feet away from me right now?
Hold
Get
on.
Back. Get
See,
back.
No, unless my arms are 6 feet long,
yeah,
that would make me the 50-foot woman. I think they wrote a song about that.
I think they did, too.
Ashley was in there flapping her arms. You should see it. We give her like the bird workout. She's like, hello. She had like soundproof glass, and we're in here screwing around in a soundproof room. And meanwhile, the music's playing.
It's like, oh, yeah, I know where we are now.
We're just chatting away. We're talking to Robert. He's going to work on a plan so he can live stream the show, just, you know, in case you're sick of listening, you'd rather watch. And if you'd rather watch, it's also on the American Uncensored Network here in the Reading area, channel 23.10. Is it 23.10? God, I didn't even have to look.
Wow, I almost said 26.
I know. You were going to get me hate mail.
Not my area of expertise. I'll leave that alone.
That's not mine either.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, we decided a long time ago we had faces for radio, and then look what happened.
Yeah, boy.
All right. So, Mr. Young.
Yeah. We have all heard about, like, Huawei. The threat is the 5G.
Oh, yeah.
It's invasive, yeah. We heard about TikTok, the apps that they're scooping private information about the kids, about where they are, even geographic locations, and their preferences. And they use TikTok to mobilize people to book up, like, campaign tickets, right, for campaign rallies. They book up all the tickets to discourage people to attend. Then none of them showed up. They booked like over a million seats and all that. But this kind of invasiveness, they cannot be seen. And now, as the election process gets really is underway, this year they started doing things that everybody can see. This is what they did. The rulers in Beijing, 10,000 assault weapon parts shipped from China have been seized by Customs and Border Protection, I think CBP, mm-hmm. in Louisville. And so this was like last month. And then there are like fake dollar bills like being seized in Chicago, in Cincinnati, like, In the past few months, these are all in the news, and we have links in the radio website, on the website. And they also have, as this debate in the United States about whether we can vote remotely or we have to show in person. Now, I'm kind of worried. Even if someone shows in person, he could be presenting fake IDs. And indeed, there are 2,000 fake IDs being captured in Memphis. And they were manufactured and shipped from China.
Wasn't there like 20,000 seized in New York or someplace?
In O'Hare, Chicago, yes. International Airport, O'Hare International. Yeah, that the 20,000 one was not in one scoop. It was like in the trickling in over the past 6 months. and it's maybe 12 or 20, a dozen or so, short of 20,000. And the majority of those, they were manufactured and shipped from China as well. So this is how China is coming to us. It's not that we can pretend we can go back to our old days, right? No, we can't. What's really alarming is they have the information. I don't have good sources to find out whether the picture has been swapped out or whether the addresses are correct. But I do have people that I follow on social media. They have been fairly active, and they received the seeds, like agricultural.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Yeah, 27 states, state agricultural officials, they told U.S. Postal Office, stop sending these to people's homes, send them directly to, federal organizations. And what I have seen, because when they post the seeds that they received, some were are not good at using social media. They posted the delivery, the form that the sender filled out. It has, of course, they marked out their names, but they forgot to mark out their zip code, their telephone number. So these Chinese Americans, mostly, and some are just the Native American, just the Americans who were natural born here, and their addresses, their phone numbers, and all this kind of information. So whoever launched this coordinated campaign, they have it all. So now it's not only coming to America, it is real. It's just coming to our mailbox. It's now some couriers like Amazon, they're doing garage delivery. Now these things are coming to our garages. So this is how China is coming to us.
Do they have any idea what the whole thing with the seeds? I mean, have they found any, link or connection with the people that are sending them? What's the point?
Some tried to track down, and the one I saw was from an industrial park in southeast province, Guangdong province. But some people said they tried to call the number to contact, and those were fictitious addresses. It's not like a real company. And for Chinese government, they really need to be responsible for things that are going out, violating U.S. customs rules and regulations, right? And some were saying they, when they touched the seeds, their skin were sensitive. Their skins were sensitive to the seeds, and that there were blisters and all that. And there were arguments saying, oh, those were the seeds not received this year, but the previous years from China, and those recipients were Japanese. So this, I don't know whether this thing, now they're doing it because United States and China are, the relationship isn't as smooth as it was a few years ago, so there are a lot of questions that need to be, that bag answers.
Yeah, that is, and the seed thing has been going on for a while.
Yes, I looked at the one of the shipping bill. It says it was shipped January 2020, so it took a long time to come over.
Mm-hmm.
It was arriving a few months ago. Some people said they saw a package, they didn't order anything, so they threw it away.
Oh,
So
most people are too curious for that, though. I would imagine 99% of them get opened.
Yeah. Now I'm watching my mailbox very carefully. Now I'm on your radio.
We'll probably all get seeds.
Have ways to get my post office box or my home mailbox. So I'm gonna, if I receive anything I didn't order, I'm gonna turn it into law enforcement for them to find out more.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, the crazy part that struck me, not only were they just random and showing up at people's house, but I guess the seeds were really big. Like, I was picturing little itty-bitty seeds, but I guess they're big, like kidney beans or something.
Well, I heard one report that some of the seeds were a type of water lily that's not indigenous to the United States is very invasive. So, but there's I guess different kinds of seeds.
I was thinking of Peter Pan. They're going to start Peter Pan, but that's tiger lily, not water lily. Sorry. They're going to plant water lilies in the U.S. and infiltrate.
I want the Jack and the Beanstalk seeds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Eureka, maybe can you work on that for us? Get us the Jack and the Beanstalk seeds instead of these other ones that burn your skin. I'm not into those. Those don't sound good.
Yeah, I think they do the ship through like the slow, maybe over like over the sea, like the slow shipment.
I forget what they call that, but yeah. I mean, literally the slow boat from China that we've joked about for years.
I know how slow it was because, like, beginning of the year, maybe March, I ordered table tennis rubber from Thailand. So Amazon says it's going to take like a month because of the Wuhan virus. So actually, it took like 3 months. They even refunded me because it was no delivery. I had to contact them again after I got the delivery. So it took 3 months from Thailand to the United States in one shipment.
I've done that before, like order something on eBay that was little, like a telephone, like a little cover for the phone, and it wasn't something I had to have right away. I didn't even look, and it turned out it was coming from China, and then I looked at after I pushed the button, I look at the delivery date, and it's like 4 months away.
Yeah.
So about the time I forget about it, it shows up. But, I think that's very odd, and I mean, let's face it, it's not free to do that. So somebody or some buddies went to the time and the expense to put this all together.
Yeah,
so it's got to mean something.
Well, one of the things they were saying was that it was part of a marketing campaign to bolster the numbers of a particular company that showed they could show so many shipments to the United States, and it would increase some rating so that they would qualify for different shipping rates or whatever. But they're not really sure what the advantage was. But it was basically to increase the numbers for companies.
See, we're also paranoid. We're like, it's got to be something creepy and evil. Oh, garden variety marketing.
That feels suspicious. Yeah, I saw Wall Street was like more along that line, talking along that line. Mm-hmm. But they could have sent something like less harmful, right? More like nothing like live, right?
Oh,
like,
sure. Yeah. It could have been.
It could have been a piece of paper. Yeah. I mean, could have been
a cloth, right? A
pencil, something useful.
Okay, so we're gonna take a break.
I like that. Do the break sign. Bill looks like he's having a convulsion. That means we have to take a break.
That's not true.
It is true.
I was not convulsing.
You were like giving it that. Oh, was it some kind of a latent disco move?
I'll show you a convulsion.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna be 6 feet away from Bill when we come back. You are listening to We the People. Please join us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Now please roll. I've given you southern exposure to get you to thrive. I've pinched your back hard like I'm supposed to. You're barely alive. I've tried you at levels of moisture from desert to mud. Then I've given you prolites and mineral supplements. What do you want from me, blood? Ouch! Damn roses, damn thorns.
On your grass.
Yeah, you get back, Dojo.
And, we were talking about it on the break, but, just to kind of end out the seed thing. But, if people are all throwing them away, they're all going to grow in the landfill.
I know it.
So they're ultimately getting planted one way or the other. It's kind of creepy.
It is creepy.
All right, Eureka, that's your assignment. Find out what the seeds are all about.
All right. these seeds, they come, like, at the time where China maintains this opaqueness of where the virus came from, right? Yep, they refuse to do all that. And while they're refusing the the source of virus and how it spread, how it did not spread within China, yet it spread like all over the world, right? While they are doing, refusing to help international community to have a good understanding on that, they are very good at spinning their own propaganda. They did so by rounding up like 230 smaller parties, mostly like communist parties or pro Chinese Communist Party, pro CCP, pro China parties worldwide. Those, I know those are smaller parties because the open letter they publicized mentioned that they are gonna build up a solution and that they are heading for a common health destiny of mankind. And this is kind of a trademark talk. They have this Belt and Road Initiative, mm-hmm. and a higher goal for this Belt and Road, they have like a theme, like which reads like the common shared, or they call it shared destiny of mankind. So that is what they're building. So for this health, in this health sphere, they're building a shared health destiny of mankind. So those smaller parties, I don't think the Republican Party, right, or the Democratic Party here, or like a Labour Party like in Australia or UK, or those big parties are going to join that shared destiny under the leadership of Chinese Communist Party. So that's how I know none of the major parties have signed onto it. But anyhow, they rounded up 230 smaller parties. And Communist USA, Communist Party USA, was proud to announce that at their website, saying they were one of the signing parties, like on that open letter, and their proposal to sing praises of basically to praise what Beijing did in handling this the outbreak of Wuhan virus was adopted in the open letter. So what Communist Party USA proposed was like they were trying to prove to the world why freedom, the camp of a free society, of free countries, why they're losing, why the Communist parties are winning. They used two very, they thought very convincing countries. One was China, one was Cuba. So that's their proposal. But when Beijing finalized the open letter, which published, I believe, was at the beginning of April, they dropped Cuba. They didn't think Cuba was like on the same caliber with China. It would be a distraction, right? It would be kind of a mockery. It would be like, mm-hmm. yeah, laughing stock. So they retained China being like the best, the best example for the world to follow. So this is what they did. And there is much debate about whether they are the best country. I think they are the worst on many fronts. First, it was where the first out the Wuhan virus got its name because it broke out in Wuhan.
Sure,
everybody knows that. Yeah, and then they shut the city down. They locked down communities, and many people died not because of this virus, but because they have other long-term illnesses. They were no longer allowed to seek treatment. And then there were like this kind of incense, whatever the burners to burn the body. I don't know how to say it in English. They brought in these very powerful.
Like the incinerators.
Yes, incinerators. Yes, yep. They brought these things in. They burned, bodies. And by the time people were told that they were allowed, it broke out in late January. By the time it peaked out, people were told to gather ashes. They went. They had to be organized by local residential committees, and they had to sign forms saying they agreed to that once they gathered the ashes, they were going to do it before April the 5th, I think, which is, was a traditional Chinese day for mourning the those who passed away. So if you want to get, if any family wanted to get their loved one's ashes like before that date, then they have to agree like they would remain quiet and they would not like take pictures when they go to get the ashes and all that. So they want to, and then there were reporters in China. They took a picture, they counted how many boxes were handed out. They were saying like even within a day that they're handing out, I forgot the exact number, is either 25,000 or 50,000. And that was going on for days. So the number of people who died in Wuhan was in like hundreds of thousands. So that's the
point. Wow.
I could get like over 100,000 within a very short period of time, like in the space between January and end of March. So these numbers were kept as top secret. But what they couldn't hide that well was when this thing first broke out, right? So U.S., I believe, had enough information. They started having that like as early as November in our earlier programs that we talked about those dates. And now international community, Australia, for example, they're demanding like an investigation. They wanted transparency. And so that was in this aspect alone, like the people whose lives were taken, and also how their lives were taken because of like the inhumane treatment, or like they were deprived of normal like medical treatments. Many died of that, and I have contacts over there. I'm not directly. I stopped contacting. We probably will have a chance to get to it. I stopped contacting people in China directly, but I have friends who have contacts, still have contacts back there. And these friends, they have emigrated to the Western countries. And they said some people, they were transgender workers. They had to trade in their phone, cell phone, for food and all that. So it was doing a terrible job. And yet, Communist Party USA was one of the 230 global political parties calling for like international cooperation under the leadership of the Chinese Communist Party. So that's on their propaganda side, up front. That's what they're doing, and this would bring us to what else they're doing with these communists and other extreme leftist groups in the United States. I have, over the years, when I worked for, volunteered for nonprofit organizations, I got to know some people. And one such group, I have contacts in one such group, China Scope, and they have been following along about the infiltration of about the communist infiltration into the United States longer than I have, and they provide information that it used to be one organization, which now split into two. They stayed in very close touch with Communist Party USA, and they are also their name. Their name is let me see if I could recall. It is Freedom Road Socialist Organization. Was the original organization. Now it kind of split. The Freedom Road Socialist Organization is still there, and then there is another brand of that. They call themselves Liberation Road. So now there are two. There are now like they split into two. And Freedom Road Socialist Organization probably now is one of the smaller one. And it is based in Chicago and Minneapolis. And these two cities, we have seen them popping up in news reports lately about violence, right? So, and the other, which is now a bigger group, I think, is the other Liberation Road. That is working on parliamentary approach to overthrow, like, existing governments. And it is... maybe in the United States they're not overthrowing, but that is working. Liberation Road, the majority faction is working very closely with the Communist Party USA. As we know, it is working very closely with Chinese Communist Party, whose praise for China's handling of the Wuhan virus has been adopted in this open letter, right, initiated by Beijing. And so these organizations, they're working together. And I think we can come back to Liberation Road about its involvement in parliamentary process, election process, right, after we have come to time for break.
Yeah. Look at you.
Very good.
You don't have to do anything. You were reading Bill's mind. It's a big place in there.
Yeah, I want to kind of stay on that vein, but I don't want to forget. Maybe we can hit in the second hour. There's reports out there that there's like food shortages now in China.
Yes.
I'm sure we won't hear about that publicly.
Yeah. No, that'll be kept quiet. But yeah, we can talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to have way too much to talk about. We will be right back, though. Our guest is Mr. Yuriki Young. You're listening to We the People. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire.
Rockefeller, Campanella, Communist Bloc, Roy Khan, War for All, Toscanini, Daquan, Gin, Gin, Foo Falls, Rock Around the Clock, Einstein, James Dean, Brooklyn's got a winning team, Davy Crockett, Peter Pan, Elvis Presley, Disneyland, Bardo, Budapest, Alabama, Khrushchev, Princess Grace, Peyton Grace, Trouble in the Suez.
We didn't start the fire, it was always burning since the world's been turning.
That's such a timeless song.
Quite a list.
Yeah, it is.
Seems to not go away either.
Yep.
Oddly enough. All right, Eureka. Hey, you know, one thing before we leave that, you know, what you were saying about the incinerators and all that in Wuhan, we had had someone, could have been one of the Dr. Chens, who was telling us that when those incinerators rolled into Wuhan, that, oh, supposedly the official story was that it was for medical waste. They just neglected to actually tell the world that medical waste included body bags. And they had said that a lot of those people actually weren't dead yet.
Yes. There were, like, first-hand eyewitness accounts that an elderly gentleman, his leg was still moving, and they just wrapped him up. And, this has been circulating in Chinese social media for quite some time. And when the families did go back to get the ashes, there was no telling whether they got ashes of their loved ones. Or
oh, yeah, it could be anybody.
Well, that was what I was thinking. It was when you have that many people incinerated, how in the heck did they ever keep track of who was who? Did they separate them when they were doing that?
Well, I'm thinking if the same people who were pushing people into the incinerator alive were on the other end sorting the remains, I'm kind of thinking they didn't really spend a lot of time worrying about that.
They didn't
really
care about
it. They don't really sound like people who worry about those kinds of things.
No.
So, you know, Eureka, just on a, I mean, some of this is really incomprehensible to people who have never lived in a society like that. And so I'm always worried that people think, I mean, obviously we're not making it up because who would even think up something like that? But that maybe it's not really that bad. That maybe that's just being said to make the government look bad or something like that.
Yes, this is what people in China, when we started posting these in U.S. social media outlets, and then there are people who are like taking pictures and taking video footage and send it back by climbing over this great firewall to send people to send to audience back in China. These Chinese people, their reaction was, they acknowledged all that, they knew how bad the government is, but they would fight the numbers. They said, oh, this is a very rare occasion, right? It was a very rare occasion.
That and that makes it okay.
Yeah, they consider it okay.
Oh.
So the tolerance level there, there was no abhorrence upon their learning this. So then this would give someone like me, then I would know. So they got used to it. They only disagreed with us on the numbers. We would say the death would be well over 100,000 or maybe even 200,000. But they said, oh, the death could be maybe 2,000 or 10,000 or something. But then those people, yeah, died very miserably without treatment for other causes.
So they starved them and all these different things and then pushed them in the incinerators alive, and nobody's disputing that. They're just disputing how many people it was?
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to make sure I was actually understanding that correctly.
Yes.
Huh. And well, that's a special kind of mind control that gets you to a place where that where you get to think that up and someone isn't telling you to think. I mean, obviously someone told him to think that up over time, but I don't know. Most people wouldn't if you were writing a scary movie, you wouldn't even think of that as a plot line.
Yeah, they want us to present the numbers, but how could we? Like, we heard about the Uyghurs, right?
Right.
There were like 1 million or maybe 2 million Uyghurs were like shipped to concentration camps and to do slave labor. Then they want us to prove, not us, I mean Uyghur human rights activists, right?
Sure.
They want them to prove. You said there's a million, right? Now tell me what their names, right? If you cannot, then it's only your brother, right? Just one person.
Right.
If there are 10 of you or 100 of you, then we have 200 missing Uyghurs, and that was about it. That's how they are refuting. Not just the government, but many who, just the average Chinese, they started thinking along that line.
Maybe it's just too scary. There's probably a psychiatrist out there screaming at his radio going, you idiots, it's just how people survive these things. Because I'm thinking maybe that's what you have to do. Not that makes it better, but I guess if you can't get out and you're, I don't know.
Yeah.
That and it was interesting to me. We had to be gone last weekend, so we replayed a program from January with Nicholas Gerber, who is an activist working against the forced organ harvesting program, we'll call it, that happens in China. And if that's a newsflash for anybody out there, please go to the website and listen to that show. But fascinating to me that re-airing that show, I got quite a few phone calls. The first time it aired was in January of 2020. And so we played it again last week. And so in addition to emails and some phone calls I received over that time, I looked at the statistics for where people were tuning in to access the program. And in the last week, listeners from Singapore we have had more people in Singapore listening than the entirety of the United States. And I thought, well, that's kind of
It is encouraging.
Interesting.
People are vacating from Hong Kong. They moved their business to Singapore, I think. That's closest. Both use Chinese and English languages as their official languages.
Mm.
And yeah, I think they probably cared about the well-being of their either family or friends back in Hong Kong. And they have ties to people back in China.
Mm-hmm.
I think they also probably are more concerned than us about China's taking over, more and more, its the sphere of its influence would be expanding and may one day, right.
Well, it tells me how strong the grapevine is, because I was feeling really remiss we hadn't done a show on China in a while, a couple of months at least. And then it's interesting, we replay a show. I actually never sent out any promotion. I didn't post it to Facebook. I just having a little family thing there, and I just got busy and didn't do it. And so just replaying it, just putting it up on the web and having it just sit there all by itself tipped the scales. I mean, the week before, Singapore was way down 10, 11, 12, maybe 15 in number of listeners on the worldwide scale. And bing, they popped immediately to the top. And I thought, man, that's a very interesting network that they must have going on. There's a show about this, you know, everybody taps
the
into
word
it.
Got out very quickly.
Yeah, because it was like Monday and Tuesday were the big days. And I thought, huh.
So, yeah, and also there's
good for them, you know, good for all you guys in Singapore.
Yeah, and also new developments about organ harvesting. I'm not an expert on that. I have no medical background.
I don't want to become an expert on that. It's just too creepy.
I heard that because of this Wuhan virus, people's organs are failing, right? It attacked one's lungs and heart.
Oh, sure.
And this made this issue even more prominent, this organ harvesting. So there are people who were able to get organ transplant four times. Like someone did it four times, so with 10 spare organs to pick and choose in the recent month. And I believe at the Times, they zoomed in and provided the name. The patient was flown back from Japan to China in the past few months and did this. So check out with your contacts, and they may have an update for you.
Oh, my gosh. So it's like Taco Bell. You just go through the drive-thru, and, you know, the burritos aren't very much, so you might want to go through the drive-thru again. It's crazy to me that an entire, a government structure would think it was okay.
I'm just shocked that more countries don't ban transplants out of China. I mean, there are countries.
Well, I'm shocked at how many people don't even know it's happening. And the thing is, you hear about the Uyghurs all the time, the Muslims in China. But that's been happening far longer with the Falun Gong. They're Chinese, for heaven's sakes.
Yes. And the population of Uyghurs is so huge. And with 1 million, this is a really, like, huge pool of organs to harvest from. So that's what worries me. And also, they're talking about national security law. They're going to ship Hong Kongers into mainland and sentence them to lifetime in prison. So
more like lifetime in organ harvesting, which will be short. Ugh. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's you know, some of this you really can't make up, and for the folks out there that had no idea these things were going on, really think twice. We've had some guests on who've really, and maybe it was you, I don't remember, but you know, some people really, really highlighted, you know, if you're buying goods from China that are, you know, because of the price and all that sort of thing, you really need to think that through, because what are you supporting?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So, you know, whether you think Buy American's a good idea or not for our country, it's, I don't know, it's time to send a message. We'll be right back with our guest, Eureka Young. We've got a lot more to discuss about China. You can find everything about the program at WeThePeopleRadio.us.